Good evening.
President Susan Druber, Provost Nice, Dean King, faculty, staff, family, and friends. On behalf of the seminary class 2013, welcome, bienvenidos. Today in Joyful Choir, we celebrate a foretaste of the kingdom of God. Come, let us walk together as one, and in Christ, for he is our cornerstone. For in Christ, we are no longer strangers. Let us raise our voices to celebrate our much diversity with praises of thanksgiving, testimonials, prayers, communion, sending, and fellowship. Today, our seminary graduation feast begins. The best way to celebrate is by lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and God. People from the four corners of the globe, let us come as one body. The kingdom of God is a colorful celebration, for in Christ we are no longer strangers. Amen.
Ephesians 2:19 and 20. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone.
Now I'll be reading from Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as a citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
I am one of three who have been asked to give testimonials about our time here. We, as a class of 2013, have come from many places across the globe. Not many of us are from here in Harrisonburg. I myself hail from the wonderful state of Pennsylvania. We are not all from the same campus, but we have all come together today to celebrate that we are all graduates of this fine institution. We have come together from different parts of the world with different backgrounds. We have many different denominations represented in our class, but we are all graduates of 2013. And no matter where we go from this place, since few of us are staying in this location, we will always have that connection. We will have built a house on the foundation of Christ. And we will together be graduates of 2013 from Eastern Mennonite Seminary, a gift that will go with us wherever we go. We are no longer strangers.
He was sitting in a chair with his back to a room full of Mennonite preschoolers. He wouldn't make eye contact with me as I sat down on the floor next to him. I had offered my afternoon to help with the preschool class at Mennonite Church USA Convention in Pittsburgh. And something drew me to this little loner. Every question I asked him was greeted with a shake of his head and a mournful whimper. Little by little, we made progress. Within a couple of moments, he was forcing his mouth into that "I'm not going to let you see me smile" frown, and I knew I was almost there. Soon, he erupted in laughter as he threw the ball past me, and I had to run after it to catch it. And once this dam broke, his joy and energy just filled the room. About an hour later, I noticed a little girl tucked in a play tent, staring sadly at the ground. My new little friend followed me over to her. The instant I climbed in and plopped myself down, her frown turned into a whimper and a trembling lip. I want my mommy. Do you want me to read you a story?
No.
Do you want to color a picture?
No.
I looked up and I realized my little friend had disappeared. A moment later, he returned with a coloring page and a handful of crayons. Instantly, the girl perked up, but then the whimper came back. I only want to color with pink and purple. Her benefactor disappeared. After a few seconds, he returned with a handful of purple crayons, dumping them into my open palms. I'm going to go get another activity, he told me. He was back sooner than I expected, his eyes twinkling. Do you want to play with bubbles? He asked, peering at her through the tent opening. And that was all she needed to hear. They were off, a little girl and a 5-year-old Jesus in a blue t-shirt. The comforted had become the comforter. When I started seminary on the PA campus 4 years ago, I felt a little bit like this little boy, overwhelmed and alone in a brand new world. I wasn't sure if I even belonged here. One of my classmates was Angela Moyer, who graduated last year. From the beginning, she became an unofficial mentor for me, encouraging me when I felt overwhelmed, teaching me how to balance homework and 2 jobs, reminding me that grades are not the end all. Emily, she'd say, you do know what they call someone who graduates seminary with a C average, right? A pastor. Over these last 4 years, Angela has become a friend, a colleague, and even at times a co-conspirator. Most of us in Pennsylvania are on what I affectionately refer to as the 15-year plan. That means balancing work, school, ministry, and family as we pursue our degrees a class or two at a time. I couldn't imagine going to school full-time, but when Angela decided to take a break from congregational ministry so that she could focus on finishing her degree, she told me, "You wait. You'll see. You'll get to that point when you're just ready to be done." She was right. Again. A year later, I followed suit. Then last year, she and several others graduated. As I entered my final year of classes, I felt lonely and a little insecure. I think a friend of mine said it best when he said, when you're in these programs for so many years and some of your classmates graduate, it's disorienting. It takes a while to regain your footing. But I noticed something strange happening this last year. I found myself listening to new students, encouraging them when they felt overwhelmed, helping them learn how to balance work, school, and ministry, reminding them that grades aren't the end all. I heard my own voice saying, you do know what they call someone who graduates seminary with a C average, right? The comforted had become the comforter. Seminary is hard work. Thank goodness we don't have to do this work alone. I think of classmates who once blurred into a sea of unfamiliar faces, but who are now precious colleagues in this vocation we call ministry. I think of Tracy, who can't resist bringing fried chicken and pasta salad when it's his turn for snack. And yes, in Pennsylvania, we have snack at every class. I think of Benny, who's soft-spoken in conversation, but when you get him behind a pulpit, it's like someone flipped a switch as he thunders out the word of the Lord. I think of Joanne, who shared a table group with 3 of us in our 20s, and although she's old enough to be our mother, never treated us with anything but respect and admiration, who modeled for us full-hearted pursuit of God's desire for her life, even if it meant going to seminary in her 60s. These are just a few of the faces I picture when I think about seminary, and I'm sure each and every one of you has your own stories to tell. As we read in today's passage, Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Therefore, we are no longer strangers. We are friends. We are no longer foreigners. We are citizens. We are no longer orphans or widows. We are family. We are carefully joined together in Christ so that the church would display God's wisdom in all its rich variety. This was God's eternal plan, which God carried out through Christ Jesus. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence together. So don't lose heart. May those of us who have found comfort here become comforters. May those of us who have found healing become healers. And may those of us who have found companionship become companions. And may the same Holy Spirit that joined us together in this place send us out as instruments of reconciliation for the sake of the world. Amen.
Good evening. I also started my seminary studies at the Lancaster campus, and I also enjoyed those snacks at all those evening classes. My first class was systematic theology with Brinton Rutherford. I only took one that first semester. I was pretty unsure about seminary, and I don't know if that class didn't go so hot if I would be here tonight. But Brinton was really an amazing professor in that first class, and I realized there's something special about this experience of seminary. A lot of it was the community experience, sharing snacks together as part of it. I ended up doing 15 credits at the Lancaster campus and then decided I needed a little bit of a break, and I went and hiked for 5 months in the woods on the Appalachian Trail. And I can tell you right now that anyone who spends 5 straight months in the woods should not be anywhere close to a classroom 1 week later, which is what I did when I came down to the Harrisonburg campus. That first semester was a little rough. And I remember being in the formation in God's story class with Joni as my professor and the small group leader, and really having a lot of frustrations just about what was I doing in seminary back here again. And I was frustrated with the church in some ways, frustrated with some of the politics that go on. And yet there I was. And that small group was a place where we could really share those frustrations, the questions and the doubts, and yet do it in a community and a place where we were realizing the larger story that we were a part of, God's story. A group of people in that small group that I didn't know at all in the beginning, and yet we were there to share our stories, to support one another, to be church for one another. And I appreciate that I was given that space to deal with the frustrations, but also the space to realize anew my story within God's story. And now, 4 years since the Lancaster experience and 3 years since I started here at the Harrisonburg campus, I've realized just how important the community is as we do this thing called theological education. It's going to take a lot of friends to figure out what it means to be a Christian. And so I think about the friends that I had and the different experiences. We've done a lot of gathering together, certainly in the classroom. We've studied Old Testament, New Testament, the Greek and Hebrew languages, preaching, theology, Anabaptist history, missional church, pastoral care, CPE, cross-cultural competency, the list goes on. But we've done this together with lots of friends. We've spent time down in the study room where we haven't always gotten work done, but we've had a good time. And we've certainly been formed, I think, in those experiences of having community in a study room where we have our own study carols and a place to keep our things. I've gathered with friends as we ponder together difficult theological questions. What does it mean to repay evil with good? To live as a people of Christ's peace? I appreciated after the Boston bombings that we received an email from our dean, Michael King, reminding us of the particular, peculiar people that we were, who does not repay evil with evil, but evil with good. We have gathered around the table to share many meals. We've gathered at people's homes, playing a game or watching a game, drinking a cup of coffee, talking about our interdenominational differences, appreciating the particularities, and learning from others. I appreciated the chance to grow with friends in my pastoral internship at Mount Clinton Mennonite Church and to have a mentor like Lee Martin who walked with me. But maybe the greatest place of being with friends and being formed was in this very place of chapel, where as a community, we have sang songs, prayed together, read the Holy Scriptures, heard sermons, have shared in the Lord's table. We've washed each other's feet. On this journey of seminary, I have learned that this household of God that we hear about in the scripture, it's really hard to understand. It's hard to figure out what it means to be a part of it, how we live in it, how we minister in it, and that it's going to take a community to do that together. And so I'm thankful for this community, and I'm glad that it's not something that I have to do alone. I'm grateful for my classmates and seminary students who we've walked this journey together, for the professors who have taught us, walked with us, truly care about who we are and who we are becoming, our dean and associate dean who has given vision to this seminary, to the staff who do so much stuff behind the scenes to make a place like this what it is, to our families who have supported us and loved us in so many ways. Finally, and most importantly, I'm grateful to God, for who in Jesus Christ, out of his love, has made us strangers no more, has called us to transformed life as his body, the church, the household of God, the embodiment of the risen Christ, and a God who promises to be with us always. Amen.
The graduating class of 2013 convened several meetings to decide our baccalaureate theme and motto and class gifts, and you've already seen and heard what we hope to become, the people that welcome God's created diversity and beauty. Indeed, where in Christ we're no longer strangers. Our discussions revolved around welcoming attitudes and welcoming spaces.
And when we heard the seminary administrative staff express a desire for a more welcoming lobby area downstairs, we chose to purchase and install a fireplace. The fireplace and furniture now offer a place to gather and talk, a place to welcome others.
During our class conversations, we debated whether we were going to go with a fireplace or a painting. And in the end, we felt ambitious enough to go for both. Three artists submitted examples of their work, and it was difficult to decide which one would help us with our theme the best. We decided to go with the work of Mary Witter Bellevue, sister of Punker Robertson, and it is what you see on display here, trying to help us with our theme, beautiful peace.
And in order to embrace our theme of being one in Christ fully, we also have a print of the painting for the Lancaster campus. Thanks to all the class members for your generous participation in making this gift possible.
Mary, if you would come up, we have a gift for you, and thanks. I'd like to thank you very much, Mary Bellevue. Yeah. Mary took on this project for us with just a theme in mind, and she had a great concept, and we thank you very much.
We understand you like chocolate.
My sister
told me. Yes, thank you. We especially want to thank Pucker Robertson, who really headed up a lot of the details for us at the class. We pray now that God will bless these items for good, so that they may truly help others know that in Christ we're no longer strangers.
Thanks be to God.
If you will, take out the insert that you were given. For the service of the word and the sacrament. There will be some prayers and responsive reading as we worship together. Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love him and who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Let us confess together. Merciful God,
we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
Let us offer one another the signs of reconciliation and love. Will you exchange the hand of peace to each other? This is a time now of responsive reading, the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit.
And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray in our own faith tradition, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, read these words from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recover the sight of the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. These were words spoken in recognition of an anointed call, of trust in God's transforming presence, so that the world might know incarnate love. We are now at a time of anointing to affirm God's call on you, the graduates, to celebrate the love of Christ in your lives, and to anoint you in response to your willingness to walk with others as they are incorporated into the dwelling place for God. Anointing with oil in scriptures is seen as an act of consecration, to set apart, to be holy, to be a vessel of God's anointing and gifting. In the Old Testament, we see Moses pouring oil on Aaron's head to consecrate him for ministry. We hear the psalmist say that the Lord anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. In Exodus, the anointing of the priests is in connection with the sacrifices offered to God. In the New Testament, anointing is not a command, but an invitation, a connection with the healing found in Christ, a recognition of the Spirit's empowerment, an act of claiming a person for God's kingdom and lordship. When engaged in time of worship like this, it becomes a demonstration of support and the love of a caring community, along with the participation in the presence and spirit of the community and the Trinity. Anointing is just simple olive oil, the produce of creation and human labor. Anointing is a human response to the Spirit's call. It's a ritual of prayer. Pray with me. Lord God, as we call forth these graduates to anoint them, we ask that your Spirit would rest upon them, and that may the prayers offered and the lives surrendered to you be acceptable to you, O Lord, in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite Mark Wanger and Dorothy Jean Weaver to come forward. There'll be three of us standing up here, invite, I'm using a little pastoral freedom here, invite the graduates to come up and those of their family who wish to join them for our time of anointing may also accompany them to the front. So be in prayer for us as we pray for the graduates in this time, and may this be a gifted moment for those who are coming forth.
Brothers and sisters, go out into the world. Seek God and the wisdom of God. Hide yourselves from the corruptions of power and adulation. Entrust whatever you have to Christ, for with him there will always be more than enough.
And may God strengthen you and your inner beings. May Christ dwell in you and your hearts through faith. And may the Holy Spirit plant your roots deeply, deeply in the abundant riches of God's love.
We go in peace
to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.